Chandra, what about the issue of numbers of cycles of chemotherapy in the chemo radiation setting? How do you approach that outside a protocol setting? Do you use either induction or consolidation treatment?
I think we do need full doses of chemotherapy. That's the concept that I embrace. So if you have given full doses of chemotherapy with radiation therapy, then maybe consolidation is not needed, as was done in the HOG trial, where they did not show a benefit of docetaxel in the consolidation setting. But if you were to give radiosensitizing chemotherapy, as it is being done in the RTOG trial, you do need to give full doses of chemotherapy. Now, here we are taking the concept from stage 4 disease and also from early stage disease, where we are giving adjuvant therapy in resected patients. So if I give radiosensitizing chemotherapy with radiation, which is probably the best way to administer it, I give consolidation therapy, as is being done in RTOG studies, and that's what we had shown in the LAMP trial a number of years ago.
How often do you find problems in actually getting the consolidation in?
It is very difficult to give consolidation if you have given full doses of cisplatin and etoposide with radiation. But if you give weekly carboplatin, taxane, and radiation, it's very easy to give consolidation. And most of my patients really do not have any significant problem.
John Charles, what's your approach to this in terms of either induction or consolidation chemo in the chemo radiation situation?
I think it's a very complex issue. As you have realized, there is no clear standard of care in stage 3B disease. It's a very heterogeneous disease. And in fact, there is a huge difference between a patient who is T4, which risk is mainly local relapse, versus an N3, which risk is mainly metastatic evolution. And until we have better predictors of what is the risk, local relapse or metastatic disease, to put the focus either on radiotherapy or the systemic treatment, it's going to be hard to move ahead in this field.
Vince, what's your approach? And also, there was a question about the data you presented last year looking at neoadjuvant chemo-bev. Maybe you can update us on that and also tell us how you approach this question.
So we undertook a phase 2 trial that incorporates bevacizumab with cisplatin and docetaxel or cisplatin and pemetrexed. And patients got the first dose of bevacizumab and get scanned a week later, and we actually saw some shrinkages in tumors. But whether that's actual death of cancer cells or decrease of edema in the tumor, no one knows. But one of the more interesting observations that we're looking at now is it appears that the patients who may do particularly well are those who develop cavitation during treatment. We know baseline cavitation is something that's not desirable if one wants to use this drug, but we're interested in that as a crude biomarker for potential better outcomes.
And, just as a follow-up to that, it was postulated that maybe the bleeds that are seen with bevacizumab are actually some kind of accelerated response. Anything new in that regard, Vince?
To me, I think that's probably oversimplifying things to some extent. I'm not aware of anything new that's nailed that down. I am intrigued by the cavitation observation.
Tom, one of the most controversial questions we've addressed in our think tanks the last couple of years has been the issue of cetuximab in the stage 3 situations. There were even people there who a couple of years ago were saying they might consider it in a patient who was informed and wanted to have it, et cetera. Not sure whether the data that Mark presented has tempered some of those thoughts. What are your thoughts about where we're heading right now with this?
I was obviously very disappointed by the data that TLGB presented with cetuximab in that setting, because I think most of us, when you looked at it in head and neck cancer, it seemed to make a lot of sense that it was an effective radiosensitizer in head and neck cancer, and we thought this would be something that would work in locally advanced lung cancer. In fact, I held out a lot of hope that this would be a place for this drug. And I think right now, I don't think there's strong evidence to support its use in that setting off protocol, and I agree with what the majority of the group felt.